gone in a flash?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The Securities and Exchange Commission is thinking about banning flash orders. This is a practice that happens so fast, you would be forgiven if you missed it entirely. But it's becoming very common, and some people say it gives certain investors an unfair advantage. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joins us now live from New York. Good morning.
Morning, Bill.
Jeremy, first of all, a quick explanation of flash trading.
Well, right, Bill. Do you know that that image you always see on TV and in the movies of the floor of the New York Stock Exchange?
Yeah. A lot of waving and yelling going on.
Exactly, exactly. Everybody yelling things very loudly. Not a whole lot of trading actually goes on down there anymore. Most is done electronically these days. And now about half of that electronic trading is done extremely fast, like faster than it takes you to hear my voice coming from New York in Los Angeles. There's a little delay there. It's even faster than that. Well, flash orders allow these high-frequency traders or computers to see what orders are about to take place on particular stocks and act on that information in less than a second, sort of the way in the old days a trader might yell an order, as you said, across the trading floor before he enters it into the system.
Okay, this sounds very modern, but not everybody's happy with it?
Right. Well, a lot of money can be made and lost in a couple of seconds. If you just think about the difference on a daily basis between where the Dow is at 9:30 and where it is at 9:30 in 2 seconds. So Senator Chuck Schumer, Democrat of New York, wrote to the SEC last week saying he wants the practice banned because he says it gives high-frequency traders an advantage over ordinary retail investors. And the SEC now says they are considering some action.
Okay. Unfair advantage. That sounds bad. So then everybody is for banning flash trading, right?
No, everybody's never for everything, for anything. There's obviously some people are against the idea. Some traders say flash orders help them get better prices, and that if you ban it, they say trading volume will drop as traders look for other places where they can move as fast as they want to, Bill.
Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson live from New York. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now let's do the numbers. European stocks are slightly higher this morning. Investors said to be anticipating a central bank meeting tomorrow where interest rates will likely be kept down at record lows. Asian shares were lower today by more than 1%. Traders got a chance to react to Toyota's big loss posted yesterday. On Wall Street, the S&P 500 rose 0.3% yesterday after that surprising increase in pending home sales. The Nasdaq up very slightly. The Dow added 33 points. And closed at 9,320. As American banks reported earnings, they said they were still putting aside money to deal with bad loans. European banks are saying the same thing. Latest example, Lloyds. The British bank posted a nearly $7 billion loss for the first half of 2009. Lloyds is struggling under the weight of a purchase it made earlier this year, as Christopher Worth explains.
Lloyd's may be wishing it could turn back time and undo the deal that made it Britain's largest retail bank. The purchase of HBUS brought with it over $18 billion in bad loans. That accounts for 80% of the sour debt Lloyd's now carries on its books. David Buick is with BGC Partners. He says the agreement was hurried through by the British government around the height of the financial turmoil of last year.
That's the one thing that nobody can shake off here, how that deal went through. Had we known how dire the state of HBOS's balance sheet was, there's no way they could either pay the price or even contemplated the deal.
The British taxpayer will be bearing the brunt of those losses. Right now, Lloyd's is 43% government-owned, and any further write-downs will be covered by the government's Asset Protection Scheme, an insurance program that will likely increase the public's stake in the bank. In London, this is Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
Back in the States now, more earnings came in after the bell yesterday. Kraft Foods said second quarter profits rose 11% from a year ago. That beat analysts' expectations. Whole Foods beat expectations as well, with profits up almost 3% from last year.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
The Obama stimulus package includes $8 billion for high-speed rail. But is money enough? Will Americans ever embrace rail transit, no matter how much we build? Los Angeles Times business columnist David Lazarus is just back from Japan, and he is asking himself that question. Good morning, David.
Thank you.
You went to Japan, you rode the rails, what'd you see?
Not just the rails, I rode everything they could throw at me. Bullet trains, express trains, commuter trains, subways, monorails. It's remarkable because you think of Japan as being a very expensive place. It's all affordable, it's all very smooth, and it's all very on time.
So how could we ever get something like that over here?
Well, that's a really good question, and that's what I put to the experts when I said, look, why can't we have something like what the Europeans have or the Asians have right here in the United States? And they said, it's more complicated than if you build it, they will come. It turns out there's many moving parts to making public transportation a big success, not least of which the real trick is getting people out of their cars. And in Europe and Asia, well, that's a slightly different thing. They've got a different culture. Here, we look at cars as our God-given birthright, and any sort of policy that's going to do that is probably going to fail politically, not least of which parking. Big factor in this. If you don't make parking prohibitively expensive, like, say, in New York, people will take their car everywhere for any purpose. That's one of the first things you have to do. Toll roads, another thing. High gas taxes, another thing. Well, these are all very politically challenging things to do in the United States.
So you didn't find a single flaw in your Japanese rail adventure?
Well, there was one flaw. There was a day when I was going through the mountains of Kyushu, and there was a major thunderstorm. There was delays. These guys in uniform from the railway company came out and they bowed and they apologized and they waived the fee for the rest of the trip. Well, that might be an inconvenience, but I wish we had something like that here.
I will never treat you that well.
I appreciate that.
David Lazarus, business columnist at the LA Times. Thanks.
A pleasure.
And finally, the World's Fair of Money opens today in Los Angeles. This touring show has four of the five famous Liberty Head nickels, giant stone money from the South Pacific island of Yap, and the billion-dollar display of high denominations, including $100,000 bills. At least someone has money. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.